Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of June 27, 2021. This week's title is Love Him Like You Do by Associate Pastor David Chase.
Hello, New Hope. Now, what is one thing you would most like to hear from your child that would just make you feel like so loved? Do you have one, like maybe on the tip of your tongue? And maybe kids, if you're watching this, what could you tell your parents if you wanted to make them like putty in your hands? Just something that you could say and just with sincerity and that would just make them feel loved. And parents, just something that you would like to hear that would just make you feel so loved. Now, I get it that maybe not all of you are like words of affirmation people. I don't know the five love languages. Some people really like to hear words that are affirming. But some of you, if your child went fishing or shopping or on a road trip with you, like some quality time that you spent together, or maybe vice versa, a parent did that with you if you're a kid, you would need to do something together that could just make you just feel so loved. That time with that child or with that parent. Or maybe you come home and the house was picked up, dishes done, dad's, the lawn was mowed, and they were changing the oil in the car. These acts of service just made you feel so loved. Maybe they just gave you a big hug. Some of you would hate that. And maybe a little peck on the cheek, that physical touch. Or maybe they got you like the perfect gift. Okay, so that's a lot of stuff. We covered all the five love languages. But imagine that thing. Imagine whatever that thing is that would just make you feel so loved by your child. Or if you're a kid, you know, something that would just make you feel so loved by your parent. Okay? You got it? Okay, great. Now, if it was something that they did, you know, four of those five love languages were like actions based, right? So imagine that they did that thing. Now, imagine that warm, loving feeling that you have that's just dripping all over you. And after they did it, they turn to you. And this is just so sweet. They just went on that trip, or they just the two of you, or they did all those chores. They gave you that big hug. You got that gift. And they looked you in the eyes. And they said with total sincerity, "You are the worst. And my life would be better without you." Oh my, ouch! That took a turn, right? Right? Oh my gosh, that'd be so bad. Would it have mattered what they did for you or with you? Or the other way around, you're a words person. They said the perfect things and they made you melt, but they never did a single thing you asked. In fact, you are pretty sure they go out of their way to do the opposite of whatever you ask. You're like, "I don't think they even like doing that, but they just did the opposite because I asked them to." They roll their eyes when you say anything, and I mean anything. They keep telling you that they love you, but you almost don't even want to be around them. It hurts. It makes you feel like a bad parent. Kids, you have done all that. Have you done this all the other way around for you? You know, maybe your parents, they do these nice things for you, but then when they're around like their friends or family, they're talking all this bad stuff about you. When your words and your actions, parents and kids, when your words and your actions don't line up, you question the sincerity, the truthfulness of their actions or words. You question whether they actually believe or feel love towards you. If you only have words or only have actions, but then a contradictory expression in the other end, it doesn't really work, right? You need both. In our series, Love Letters from God, John is going to talk about how our actions and words need to match up. So let's open up to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. So last week, Frank, he opened up chapter 2 by talking about verses 1 and 2 on Father's Day, talking about how much Jesus loves us and how we have a heavenly Father in heaven and how Jesus is constantly coming to our defense. If you're watching this, or you know, you're coming on Sunday morning and you are questioning whether Jesus loves you, well, he does so very, very much. But you should go back and watch Frank's message from last week on our New Hope YouTube channel. Today, we're not going to be wrestling together with that question, but we're going to wrestle with the question of, not the question of does Jesus love me, but wrestle with the question, do you love Jesus? After we read John's words, and if you let the Holy Spirit work in you through this talk, you may find you have a different answer than the one that you previously thought. So again, hopefully you're there. I tried to stall a little bit for you already. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. If it matters to you, I'm going to be reading in the CSB translation this morning. So if you're using like an iPhone or something like that, you can turn on over and have the same translation if you want. Otherwise, read it in your own translation. That's great too. I love that. So chapter 2, verse 3. This is how we know that we know him, if we believe his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, yet doesn't believe his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever believes his words, truly in him the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should believe the things that Jesus believed. If you were in my youth group, you would have stopped me already. Hopefully, I mean, I've trained them because I do this often. Hopefully, you're scratching your head right now. If you're not, then we got a problem here because I changed like one word as we're reading through all of that. I mean, it said almost basically the same thing. So, I mean, I am kind of tricky like that, but I changed one word, which totally changes the meaning of these verses. And it's not what this Bible says. And you need to be careful because other people, if I can do that easily, and I love you so much, and I don't want to mislead you, how much more could somebody mislead you that does want to? I changed this word from keeping his commandments and this action of doing to just belief. Let's reread it and reread it properly. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. How do I know if I'm saved? How do I know if I know God? I know it says know here, but that knowing can be kind of equated with this, am I a Christian or not? And I remember wrestling when I was a child so much with this question of, am I a Christian? Am I really saved? I get this question a lot from youth. Am I a Christian? Am I really saved? What does it take? You know, did I do everything right? Is Jesus, is God mad at me? All of these things. And this verse holds that key to this. This is how we can know, we can have assurance, know that we know him if we keep his commands. If we obey his commands. You know, somebody's like, well, I said some words once. I said a prayer once. No. That's not what it says. It says if we obey his commands. Verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know him and doesn't keep his commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. The truth, and it's not about believing. It's not a belief. If you don't believe, like I changed that words, that's not what it says. If the one who doesn't keep his commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. Truth is equated to action here in this verse. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly in him, the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Love for Jesus is an action. It is not just a belief. James says, even the demons believe and they shudder at their belief. They are scared, their belief, because their belief causes them to know that they are on the wrong side. Now, so does this mean that we're perfect? No. You're like, oh, shoot, Dave, you know, the scriptures are saying, you know, I'm not walking, I'm not keeping all of his commands, I'm not perfect, I must not be saved. No. But it does mean that we're walking in the ways that Jesus walked. Okay, I got this picture for you of when I was young. Yeah, I know. I had hair once. I thought I was bald since birth, but apparently I've been lied to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in this picture, I put on my dad's hat and I put on my dad's shoes. And I can remember often doing this, putting on his shirts. I love sleeping in my dad's shirts. He was a big guy, so his shirts would like big all the way head to toe, and it was just great. I love being in that. And I'm sorry if you are a Bears fan, but none of us were, and this was probably handed down to me by like a cousin or something. But sure, you're welcome to snap a picture of it and have that. That's great. But I tried to walk like my dad did. I put on his shoes and I tried to look like my dad looked. I looked silly doing it. I remember falling down because I couldn't, you know, his shoes were so big and my feet were so small. But I got up and I kept trying to walk like my father. So many people around us, and I fear in this church family too at New Hope, but we're not escaped from this, want to say that they're sons and daughters of God, that they're Christians, but they don't want to walk like Jesus walked. It would be like, it's the equivalent of me running around, yelling and shouting when we have company and yelling at everybody, cussing them out and saying, I was being like my father. Because in reality, that's the furthest thing from how my father acted. He never did that. He never yelled at people, cussed them out, or did any of that. If you are a Christian, then you won't be perfect, but you'll be trying to walk as Jesus walked. Talk like Jesus talked. You'll be mindful of your sin. Not asking that Jesus be okay with your walk and how you're walking, and that Jesus walk and talk like you walk and talk. No, you're going to try to walk and talk like Jesus did. Let's read verse seven here. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old command that you have had from the beginning. So this has been around for a long time. The old command is the word that you have heard, the words from Jesus. And even John in the Gospel of John, if it's the same John writing these, says, you know, Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So verse seven, the old command is the word you have heard. But verse eight, yet I am writing you a new command. Okay, wait a minute. I thought it was an old command. A new command? Yet I am writing you a new command, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So this is the most confusing two verses in our whole section that we're going to cover today. I spent the most time trying to get this one part right for you, and I still may not have it right. I mean, just in honesty. Which is why you should not listen to me, but you should listen to the Holy Spirit. But from what I've found and my take on this is that John the Elder, who's writing this, is saying, and I'm going to put it in Dave Ease, that this is nothing new. This has been around since the beginning. And so this command to love people, you want to show someone love, you want to show somebody that you love them, then your words and your actions have to be in sync. Otherwise, that is not really what you believe. This is as old as time. But verse 8, Jesus has come and has established something new. He has taken what was old and he has made it something new. Jesus said that the greatest command earlier is this: to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it: to love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus said this command, he set a new way that Christians might shine his light for all the years to come. He took an old command and made it new. The old command was the Shema. It's one of the most famous prayers among the Jewish people. If you were a child, it might be your first words, if you were a Jewish child, that you said, because they said this so much. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus is using that as a base, but then he makes it new. He makes it new by adding the love for others in there and defining love through his time on earth. He sets an example of this new type of love. His time on earth shows us this new love, a new way. He talks about in the Sermon on the Mount a love for enemies, a love for others who are called through self-sacrifice to love others. He calls us to a new way. But this is just, again, that's just my take on it and from the reading I've done. Let the Holy Spirit show you and teach you in his own way. The one who says he is in the light, the one who says he is in the light but hates his brother or sister is in the darkness until now. See, now this is continuing that theme of a new command from just a love for God to also a love for others. Andy Stanley, he has this analogy that I think it's really awesome. And he says this analogy is that the nicest thing anyone ever did for him was to stick up for his kids. He tells this story about how he was at this baseball game and an ump was just making a lot of bad calls. Everybody was getting upset and his son is up to bat and he gets hit by this wild pitch and he starts to run off to first base, you know, because he got hit by this crazy pitch. But the ump stops him and says that he leaned into it and the crowd's about like they're going nuts. Andy Stanley, he's starting to rise up off the seat and he says that he's going to shout something that probably a pastor shouldn't shout, especially in a group of people. But his wife sets his hand like only wives know how to on. She can feel him coming out of the seat. He puts her hand on his leg and just kind of brings him back down to earth. But there's this other lady who's on the fence, grabbing the fence, going nuts. She's going berate, yelling at the ref, you know, going nuts. And she gets ejected. And Stanley says that woman endeared herself to their family so much because she stood up for their kids. Like, they're still deep friends. They met up after the game and they're just so, so good friends because she stood up for their games. So the family loves them because she stood up for her kids. In that light, Jesus paints this picture that if you want to show God love, then stick up for his kids. You want to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Then love with actions, love his kids. His kids are the lost, hurting, poor, injured. The people in this church, love them by what you do. Verse 10. The one who loves his brother or sister remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. God is light. Carrie covered that in John, 1 John chapter 1. That means that God is love and God is a pure love. To not love would be the opposite of God, and that would be darkness. I think that's why hell is described of a place of complete darkness, because it's the opposite of God, absent of God, and God is light. So let's continue reading. Verse 12. I am writing to you, little children, since your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So here, kids, John the Elder is talking to you. He's talking right to you. I am writing to you, little children, since your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you have come to know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have come to know the one who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. God's word remains in you, and you have conquered the evil one. So, kids, you catch that? He's actually acknowledging you here in Scripture, and he's writing to you. Also, I don't know what age young men starts at, but we're going to go young at heart, okay? Yeah, we'll just young at heart, all of us. We're in this together, right? It's neat that he says kind of like, I am writing to you. And so he's kind of explaining the reason that he's writing in this passage. And there's a lot that we could dive into here, but I feel like some of it is distracting. I really want to focus more on this next set of verses for us in verse 15. And he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So he's changing. He's changing the focus now from loving others that he was talking about, which is good and a way to show God love. And now he's switching the focus to the love of things or possessions in the world, which is bad and might be considered idol worship. He doesn't have maybe a very good way to describe it quite yet. He kind of defines it here in verse 16. Let's look. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the things that like the body craves, The lust of the eyes see something, oh, look at all this food, I want more food, especially sexual sin. Guys really struggle visually with sexual sin, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions. Some of you are like, oh, I don't have to worry about the lust of the flesh, which I think we all do, but we're kidding ourselves. Well, the lust of the eyes, some of us are like, oh, that hurts a little bit. But maybe some of us are like, oh, no, that doesn't bother, I'm not built up with that at all. But the pride in one's possessions, oh, it stings, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And did you catch that list? Let the Holy Spirit convict you, like he has me with that verse. I'm going to reread it for you. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. And the world with its lust, with all that list and its possessions, is all passing away, but the one who does the will lasts forever. Not believes, does. Even mentioning forever, eternity may be at stake with our actions matching our beliefs. Again, this is not a perfection in life. No, it can't. You can't have a perfection. That's why we need Jesus so bad. But it's a life that strives for daily walking as Jesus walked. I'm reading a book and talking with Josh Howard about discipleship making movements. Some of you remember Josh Howard, he came and spoke a few years ago. And their ways, these discipleship making movements, are ways that Christians are growing in their relationship with Jesus, as well as loving lost people, all in like the same action, not like separate meetings or actions or anything like that, but all in like the same movement, very simplified. And this is what the churches in China, India, Africa, and many other parts of the world are doing with great success. A lot of you have heard about the churches in China and how they can't even count all the millions of Christians that are there, even though Christianity is like technically illegal there. It is very different from the way this discipleship making movements is very different from the way we do church in America. One of the ways, just one of the ways that it is so different, is that when we open God's word, we teach for learning. If you're a Christian, or maybe even if you're not and you're watching this, it's awesome. I'm so glad that you're watching this. You want to learn something or be reminded of something. You might say something like, the message was really, really good today. And you would say that if you learned something new, or maybe reminded, but especially if you learned something new. You might even say it was from God if you learned something new. But these discipleship-making movements don't teach and read God's word to learn. They read and teach God's word to obey. If they were teaching over this passage, they would come back next week and everyone would talk about in their group about if they honestly put loving others into good practice. And most of the times they would feel that they did not. They'd not get the hang of it, or they just need a little bit more practice. They're not ready to kind of move on. And so they would teach and read the very same passage again and again and again every week until they felt like most of the group was obeying, was doing. Then they would move on to the next passage. I don't know about you, but that's super convicting to me. This is why in our youth, like, we have James 1:22 as our theme, to try to get the importance of this theme in. And Grace Thomas, she almost made me cry. I don't know if you saw the graduation videos, but when she talked about on her senior video, one of the things that she has learned here at church was that her faith isn't just a belief, but an action. I was just so proud. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. We're trying to use this format that they use, a lot of people use a three-thirds group when they're doing these discipleship-making movements. We're trying to do that in our youth group and in our youth small groups, but we're still learning how to do that and not doing it. We still have a ways to go. I hope that you can do some of that too. Now, Francis Chan, he gives an example that I think is spot on. Maybe you've heard me talk about this, or maybe you've seen it in his basic series. He shares this on the video about Jesus Christ. And I don't know how anyone could say it better. It is just great. I've heard people say the same analogy, but put it in their own words. but I'm going to use him. And he says that if he tells his daughter to like go clean her room, he is less than thrilled, to put it politely, if she comes back to him later and says, Dad, I memorized what you said. You said, go clean your room. No, you didn't even have to help me. But if her room is still a mess, like, he's kind of angry. He's upset at her. If she comes back and says, Dad, I can say, go clean your room in Greek. Again, you would be like, just go clean your room. She comes back later and says, Dad, some friends and I, we're going to get together once a week and talk about what it would look like if I clean my room. Just clean your room, child. I got to put my own spin on it a little bit. That wasn't word for word how he says it. But you get the idea. God doesn't just want our words. He wants our actions. We need our actions and our words to be in sync with one another. So when you look back over your week, what do you see? Do you see someone that is loving on God's kids, that is sacrificing of their time, energy, money, that going out of your way to love on others? Or do you see a life that looks more like the world than it looks like Christ? And please, don't say it doesn't look like the world because there are things that you don't do. Hopefully it looks like Christ because there are things that you are doing that no one else wants to do. The early church did not impact the entire known world and fight against a government that was oppressing it and killing people that were following it because they didn't drink or smoke or use cuss words. The early church impacted the whole world because people were selling their possessions. The lust of the world and the pride in their possessions did not stop them. They were giving up this world to take care of poor people and those in need around them, people that the world didn't want to take care of. They wanted to forget about. They were adopting the babies that others were trying to kill because they were unwanted. They loved the people that were killing themselves, people that were killing their family. They would love on those people. May you be blessed this week. May you be blessed this week as you go and do the words that we have talked about today. May you find strength as you love those who God has called you to love. And may God's grace cover you as you walk and sometimes fall down, but you get back up again and strive to walk daily as Jesus walked.